Welcome to the More Life Church podcast. We are always encouraged to know that God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know and send us an email to amen@morelifechurch.com. Now enjoy today's message.
All right, good. Thanks for watching. So glad that you guys are here today. We're starting a brand new message series. And before we get into the message series, let me just say a couple of things in terms of words for introduction. And last month, we finished off a series on the one thing. And today I'm going to talk to you about what that one thing is for us as a church. We did our very best to walk you through identifying what that one thing is for you. And you can go back and watch that online. And all of the notes that we provided are going to be online too. So you can go back and you can watch that. You can download the notes totally free on our accessible on our website. And so I want you to get that. Today we're going to start a brand new message series called The Journey of a Lifetime. And I believe this is going to be something that is going to set your heart on a new course with God, and it just completely kind of transformed the way you see God, the way you interact with the people around you. And so we're gonna get into that. It's gonna be a really fun time. And I wanna kind of go through some things with you. But let me do this too, because in between services, people kept on opening my jacket. They wanted to see what my shirt is. So let me just get this distraction out of the way in case you're messed up by it. And it says this. It says, "Be barefoot no more." And it's a shirt that my wife gave me, and it's a part of a charity. And what happens is when she bought this shirt, a child in need got a pair of shoes. So that's kind of the significance of the shirt. Now you can kind of get your attention. I'm up here, okay? Get your eyes up here. So we can get to this. Let me open with prayer and then a verse of scripture. All right. So bow your heads with me, Father. We just trust you over the next few moments to breathe life into us. Lord, we not only want to get into the Word, but we want the Word to get into us. And we want to know you better. We want to experience you more fully and love you more deeply, God. And so help us by the presence of your Spirit to walk this journey out with confidence, with grace, with courage, knowing that you have a plan for each and every heart on planet Earth. And we just give you thanks in advance for what you're going to do today and in the coming weeks. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. If you agree with that, let me hear you shout amen. Amen. I'm going to start and read in Galatians chapter 5. This is going to be what I'll call our golden text for the entire series. So we'll come to this text every weekend and start here, because there's an important point that I want you to see. And here's what Paul says to the church at Galatia. He says this: "You, my brothers and sisters, you were called to be free." Elbow your neighbor and say, "You're called to be free." Go ahead and tell them. "But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself." And so during this series, here's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about personal freedom. I believe that there's something in your heart and in my heart that craves freedom, maybe more than it craves anything else. Just the idea of being autonomous, free, unbound, unchained from things around us. But here's what you need to know. Freedom isn't a destination. It's a journey. In other words, you don't just one day arrive at a place called freedom and everything in your life is magically okay. I want to draw a comparison for you, because here's what the life in Christ is like. Let's compare it to the children of Israel when they were slaves in Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt. Moses goes to Pharaoh and tells them, "Let God's people go." Pharaoh finally lets the slaves free, lets the children of Israel go. So they left Egypt. But as they go out of Egypt, here's what they find. They're free from Egypt's geographical limitations, But there is still a residue of the Egyptian way of life attached to their heart. I've said it to you this way. Let me say it to you this way again, if you'll let me repeat it. They were out of Egypt, but all of Egypt wasn't out of them. That's why God started giving them standards, law, rule, the commandments to follow, because they had to learn how to live life all over again. The exact same thing is true when we leave the world around us and we come into freedom in Christ. We leave the world, we are in the world, but we're not of it. In other words, we escape the shackles and chains of sin, but there's still a residue of the old life that's attached to us. So we're free from sin, but sin still tries to get its hooks in us. Right? How many of y'all? No, it's going to be that way. Okay, I see how it is. Look at this verse a little more closely. Paul is writing, just so you know, he's writing to Christians. He's writing to the church at Galatia, and he says, he references them. You, my brothers and sisters, you were called to be free. He's reminding them that Christ has provided freedom for them, which tells me, as you look at this and you study it a little bit further, they'd slip back off into some of the old ways of living and old ways of thinking. They had to take steps in their journey of freedom. Let me say it to you this way. You can be freer tomorrow than you are today. Let me say it to you this way. You can be freer by the time you get back to your car than the time when you got out of your car before service began. You can be freer that. It's a journey. We experience levels of freedom. Now, here's what isn't going to work. It isn't going to work for you to push back in your mind and say, oh no, preacher, I'm good. I prayed a prayer. I know Jesus. I'm free. But you kicked the dog before you left the house this morning. Like, there's stuff that stays. Am I the only one in the room that knows what it means to have old stuff stay attached to you? Like, can we all just be honest and say, we got stuff? How many of you know someone with issues? Yeah. How many of you, that person sitting next to you right now, yeah. We've all got issues. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got issues. You got issues. See, if you don't think you've got issues, that's your issue, right? And he reminds you, you were called to be free. Then watch, he gives you an incredible measuring stick as kind of an appetizer of your freedom. He says this, here's how we're going to know it's all working: when you love your neighbor as yourself. Does that sound familiar? It's in quotes because he's quoting Jesus. He says this, we'll know you're really free when you love the people who are around you, because the people who are around you, they're really a mess. Like, we'll know you're really free when that stuff that used to bother you truly doesn't bother you anymore, and that you arrive at a place of freedom to where they can say all kinds of mean things about you. They can write all kinds of nasty emails. They can put nasty stuff everywhere they can think of, and you read it and you realize they're talking about you, and you realize that doesn't bother me. Like, the step today that we're going to take, I've called today's message, learning to be free of what other people think. That's happening when we become authentic. So that's the subject today, is authenticity. Authenticity is the first step into personal freedom. Look at this verse of scripture that says, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 and 24 through 24 says this, you were taught. In other words, he's like, we've been over this, y'all. Talk back to me. How many of y'all have children? How many of y'all had this experience with them? We told you this already 11,000 times and you still don't get it. That's what Paul's doing. We talked about this, guys. He says this, you were taught this. We told you. That's how I know that the residue of the world around us doesn't just magically disappear because we make a decision to follow Jesus. There's some stuff that stays attached even after years, decades of being taught and walking with God. Can I tell you that from years from now, you're going to still have stuff that you've got to work on in your life between you and God. We're supposed to grow into the image of Christ from faith to faith, from glory to glory, and that that's going to continue until you see him. Like, it's a lifelong journey. So let's just start here with this beginning point of authenticity and just realize we don't all have it together. Can we just start there? That we don't have it all together. We got some things figured out, and thank God for that. But there's a whole bunch that we don't. And he's like, listen, we taught you this. We taught you to put off your old self. Take off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful nature. It wants what it wants. That's the old way of life. Giving in to all of your wants and desires, everything that you think of, you pursue it. That's the old way of doing things. And I gotta be honest with you, sometimes the old Josh sneaks up on me, especially when it comes to cars. So my wife and I, we made a brilliant choice last week, Monday through Friday, to escape to the desert. We went to Palm Springs as a little getaway. And it was nice, y'all. I'm sorry that you had no temperature and negative temperature, but I'm happy to tell you it was 74 and sunny every day where I was. Come on. Don't be jealous. Don't hate. Don't hate. Don't hate. It was beautiful. We arrive and there's sun shining and it's just something about it. Somebody said, you had so much fun. What was going on? Were you on drugs? What was happening? No drugs. Just vitamin D and no responsibility. That's my drugs of choice right there. Like, it was awesome. And so I got to the car place, the rental, and I said, what you got that I can rent that's fast? And they said, well, we have this. I said, no, that's not fast enough. I said, I'm going to get in trouble. I'm going to tear this thing apart. I want the insurance because I'm going to abuse this car. You know what I'm talking about? Like, that's how fast I want to go. So I got a 2019 Camaro SS, 450 horsepower. I burnt some rubber, y'all. And all I can, I'm talking about my old man sneaking up on me. So I started talking to my wife about, we need to get us one of these cars when we get back home. We need to get one of these. The old man thinking, the old way of saying, whatever you think you want, just go get it because that's going to make you happy. Can I tell you something? That's the way the old man before Jesus used to think. And he sneaks up on me and I have a suspicion he sneaks up on you too and says, let's go get us some of this. It's only 72 easy payments. I must be talking to someone watching online about that too, right? So the old man sneaks up on me. He says, listen, this is what he says, as a matter of your choice, look, he doesn't say, pray that God takes it away from you. He doesn't say, wait until Jesus comes down and removes the desire. That's what it says. Put it off. This is your choice. This is my choice. Just like I make a choice to take my coat off, I make a choice to take the old man off. So my choice was, when I got home, I didn't go buy me a 2019 Camaro SS. I put that old man off. I thought about it, but I put it off. Why? Because I made this choice. He goes on, he says, that you're supposed to be made new in this attitude of your mind, and you're supposed to put on your new self. This is what you do. This is what I do. This is a choice that we make. Watch this, because we were created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Just like you make a choice in these matters, I want to talk to you about the choice you make to be authentic. Because choosing to be authentic is a choice. It's not a gift that either you have or you don't have. Authenticity is one of the most courageous, bold choices that you and I will ever make. The choice to be our true self. The choice to take the mask off and let humanity see you for who you are. And that's a very scary proposition. Because as soon as I say, I'm going to take my mask off, my mind goes through these gymnastics of, well, what if they don't like the real me? What if they only love the me that can do certain things for them? What if they only love the certain me? They don't love the real me. I have to make a choice in this matter. I have to make this choice both publicly And privately, that I'm going to put off the old, and by God's grace, I'm going to put on the new. That's the journey we're starting with today, by putting on the new man of authenticity. Let me just say this part. The world around us craves genuine and real, and despises and can sniff out the fake and the synthetic. The world around us, they're not looking at us with the expectation that we're perfect as Christ followers. They're looking to see if we're real and we're authentic about what we go through. They're looking for someone who's got the real stuff and can say when it's bad, can say when it's good, say where they've got it together, say where they don't. The world around you is an expert. They are expert like hunting hound dogs at sniffing out fake and phony. They want real and they want authentic. I'm going to tell you that again, because I need a better amen than that. They want the real and they want the authentic, not the fake. Right? When you take a step in this journey, you're going to experience so much freedom, because someone needs to hear this. Someone needs to know that being fake is exhausting. You will wear yourself out in the process. Just be out there with who you are, and some people will love it and some people won't. And the people who love it are your tribe, and the people who don't, that's okay. They have the right to be wrong. But it's a choice. It's a choice that we make. I can't attribute this to myself, but I can't attribute this to anyone else, because I kind of like stole a whole bunch of thoughts and put it into one definition that I liked, because I couldn't find one that I liked. So it's kind of like a hybrid of mine and other people's. But I want to define authenticity as this. Authenticity is a daily practice of letting go of who you think you're supposed to be and embracing your real self. It starts with you knowing who you are in Christ, knowing who God has created you to be, and then stop trying to be what other people want you to be or think you should be. Instead, forget about what they think and focus on what God thinks. And if God thinks the way he created you in certain situations is okay, it doesn't matter who else agrees, because God all by himself is a majority. Right. Like whatever he says, that's what I want to go with. Like you might not like me. Cool. There's a whole bunch of people who probably do. I said there's a whole bunch of people who probably do. Wow. But I'm going to let go of who you think I'm supposed to be, and I'm just going to be me. Okay? And there's some choices you got to make. Okay, I didn't know if I was going to do this or not, but I'm going to do it, because I got to do it. It's a choice. It's a choice, and that's the choice to show up and be real. You got to do this first for you. So I'm a little self-conscious about my weight. Somebody's like, why? I'm just too fluffy in places. And I'm just going to be authentic with you. I'm so insecure about it, I wear Spanx. Because the camera adds like 10 pounds, yo. So like I need to trim it down. I can't believe I just did that again. But online too. Praise the Lord, everybody. I felt like I was being deceptive, though. I'll be honest with you. I had to make a decision. I'm going to show up and I'm going to be real.
Yeah.
And I want to look good. I want to look so good. I'm sweating through both shirts and jacket right now. Because I watch myself back online and I'm trying to keep my posture up, because when I bend over, it pouches out. And I'm just being real with you. It bothers me, but here's the deal. It bothers me of what you might think more than the fact that I jiggle when I walk up and down the stairs. And this is where things get short-sighted in authenticity. Some of you are like, he got too real right now. Some of y'all didn't know until just then that men deal with insecurity about their weight. But they do. It's not just a lady thing. And God bless the ladies deal with all kinds of pressure about what you're supposed to be. I just want to say this. I know I'm not supposed to say it, but I don't care. I'm going to be real. I'm going to show up today. I think this whole image that we have bought into from magazines and televisions and videos and all the things that they show us about this girls are supposed to be a double zero, and you're not supposed to have any wrinkles. You're not supposed to have any stretch marks. You're not supposed to have any of that stuff. That is all stuff to keep you from being real. It's just setting you up for a false standard. God loves me fluffy or not fluffy. He loves me with and without my stretch marks. He loves me no matter what's going on. I just gotta look, I'm getting freer. I'm getting free. I don't care if you're getting free with me. I'm getting free because if you show your myrtle, your man girdle to everybody in the world, it just brings some help to you. I mean, you show your people your Spanx, there's no telling what you can do in life. You know what I'm saying? Why am I doing all that? Why am I saying it? I don't know exactly, completely, because I'm regretting part of it. But will you make the choice to show up and be real, even if it embarrasses you, even if nobody applauds, even if nobody likes it, even when people second guess it? Because I can promise you this, with nearly or over 7 billion people on the planet, you're going to do something or say something that someone's not going to agree with. You've got to get to the place where you don't care what they think, you care what he thinks, and you pursue him. I don't care what you think, I care what he thinks, and if I can help one person in this place or one person online step into a new place of freedom, it's all worth it. I'm going to choose to show up and be real every chance I get. But that's the choice you get too. Let me keep moving. It's the choice to be honest. I'm like, well, yeah. Josh, you're talking to a room full of Christ followers, probably for the most part. We're going to tell the truth. No. Church people and Christ followers are the biggest bunch of liars you ever met in your life. How do I know? You call someone, you ask them, how you doing today? And you know they're going through it. You know they're having a hard time. You know they're upset with you. And you call them and say, hey, I feel like there's something here. There's a tension between us. Everything okay? Oh, everything's fine. Liar. You just got done sending 16 text messages about how mad you are at the preacher, and he calls you to help you out with that issue, and you lie on him. Okay, I'll get off of that and get on to marriages for just a moment. Husbands and wives, spouses, you know each other. The other day, my wife said that, she said, Josh, are you okay? I'm like, I'm fine. She's like, Josh, we've been married over 20 years. I know when something's wrong with you. And so what do? I lied again. I say, I'm fine. She said, Josh, come on. What's wrong? I said, I'm fine. Right? What am I doing? I'm lying. Can I tell you that when you lie, this is hard truth, okay? But when you lie, when I lie, we dishonor God. Why do we dishonor God? In part because it's the truth that makes us free. And if we're holding on to a lie, maybe locked up within my wife is an answer that'll help me get free of the thing that's attached itself to my soul and to my emotions. But if I won't let that out, if I won't tell her, if I won't invite her into that, if I won't be authentic, then what's it going to do? It might mess with her a little bit, but it's going to mess with me a whole bunch until I make the choice. I'm going to be real. I'm going to show up and I'm going to tell the truth, even if it makes somebody mad. Because here's the deal. I know what husbands and wives do. They lie to each other because the last time you told your spouse the truth, they went nuts because they didn't like what they heard. And so it's easier for you to not say anything than deal with the fallout of their emotions when they get upset over what you have going on inside of you. Nobody should say amen to that. I'm okay with that part. But here's what I need. I need us to understand that until we get real and show up and tell the truth in love, we're not going to enjoy the journey of a lifetime, which is a path to freedom through authenticity. It's a choice you make. You can make that choice. The third choice you can make is this: the choice to let my true self be seen. like the real unmasked me. Like let the mask down and with all of my flaws and imperfections, let you see me. Like to stand up on life's stage and say, this is me. I'm doing my best to get better. But as of right now, this is me. This is the best me there is in this moment of time. And I'm okay with you seeing that. Because I care more about being authentic than convincing you that I'm someone that I'm not. And we spend up so much energy, so many calories, trying to convince people that we are what we wish we were rather than what we actually are. And while you're wishing you were that, you're sidestepping opportunities and choices to become that because you're living out of a place that's false and that's fake rather than just saying, I want to be clean over there, but right now I'm here. I want to be at a place where I'm not upset anymore, but right now, daggone it, I'm fire spitting mad. Right now I'm so mad, I could say words that aren't public for public consumption in a local church. Like, I'm not that right now, but you know what I'm saying, right? Like, if I said this, like I want to use some words that I learned in my public school experience. That's how mad I am right now. I'm not, because here's what you need to know. You feel that? God knows that. You're not just lying to you. You're lying to him, and he sees through it. If you're mad at him over something, he knows. He knows. You got to just say, man, God, why did that happen? I'm upset right now. Let the true self be seen by the people who've earned the right to see your ugly, your true self. It's a choice that we make. Let me give you something that I think is brilliant from a guy named E.E. Cummings. He said this: to be nobody but yourself in a world which is doing its best night and day to make you everybody but yourself means to fight the hardest battle which any human being can fight and never stop fighting. To be nobody but yourself in a world which is doing its best night and day to make you everybody but yourself. You need to wake up to the fact that that's the world you live in. And you need to come to this conclusion based on the foundation of God's word, which is simply this: just as I am enough. I want to grow. I want to change, but I'm enough. I'm worthy of love. I'm worthy of acceptance. I'm worthy of respect. I've done some things that I'm not proud of. I've done some things that aren't great. There's some things in my past that I don't want to revisit anytime soon. But because of the grace of God and Calvary's cross, I am enough because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I'm enough. Some of y'all all day today, all day tomorrow, and all the way through this month, you need to say, I'm enough. You need to remind yourself, I am enough. Let me get back to the text because I want to finish this up. In Luke chapter 23, verse 23, this is what Jesus says to them all. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. So he gives us the path to an authentic life. He gives us the way forward to no longer place a priority on what other people think, but to make him the center of our focus. Let me break it down for you and give you a phrase to attach to the breakdown. He says the first thing that we have to do is we have to deny ourselves. That means say no to me. That means get me out of the center. That means this to me. It means be vulnerable. Be vulnerable. Like, what if I think I'm enough, but others don't? What if I let my imperfect self be seen and known and nobody likes what they see? What if my friends and family and coworkers like the perfect me better? You know, the one that takes care of everything and every one and is half a step away from a mental and nervous breakdown? What if they love that me? Like, what if I stop doing the things that I've been doing to earn everybody's love, acceptance, and approval? If I stop those things, what if they stop loving me? Can I tell you something? If you stop doing certain things and people stop responding to you in a proper and healthy way, they weren't in love with you. They were in love with what you could do for them. And that was an unhealthy relationship to begin with. If you can't be vulnerable in your relationship, you are not on the path to freedom. You are on the path to pain. You're on the path to misery. You're on the path to bondage. You are shackled and chained if you cannot be vulnerable with the people closest to you. Deny yourself. Like, forget about what they say in response to who you are. Young people, listen to me. This is a tough battle for all of us, but God help all of the young people who are navigating through middle school, high school, and early college years and beyond, that young adults phase, with all of the pressures of social media and peer pressure. You could not pay me enough to go back and redo my teenage years. And I'm saying that because we have got to be praying for that generation of people, that they grow up with a healthy view of who they are based on what God says about them, not based on what Twitter, Instagram, and Chapsnat says, whatever it's called. It's something like that. If you know, then you know. If you don't, you don't. It don't matter. It doesn't matter. Like, to be vulnerable. The next one is this. He says, I'm almost through. And I'm going to give us a chance to respond back to God, because I want to take time to do that. He says, take up your cross daily. To me, this means to embrace the tension that's in the world around us. Like, embrace it. Don't think you're going to solve it. I wrote it down because I needed to remember it. That tension is something that you never fix. It's always just there. Kind of like this. I'm never going to fix my kids knowing what day is trash day. I got to live in the tension that they always have to be reminded. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, there's just certain things that you just got to manage. Some of the kids are going, no, I don't like it. And you just got to manage certain things. So I wrote some of these things down that I have to manage. I don't want to make people feel uncomfortable. I really don't. But I want to be honest. And sometimes honesty makes the people around us uncomfortable. Like, my family was brutally honest growing up. Like, in the Italian culture, they hammer you. Like, if you show up and you haven't properly taking care of yourself, they'll just flat tell you, you stink, go take a bath. You know what I'm saying? Like, they just, like, are mean. Your breath stinks, go brush your teeth. Like, they just hammer you with truth. And I don't ever want to make people uncomfortable, but I also want to be honest. It's attention. Jesus is saying, you're going to have to carry these things every day. You're going to have to carry this cross that is known as attention. Tension, not attention, tension. I don't want to upset anyone or hurt anyone's feelings, but I do want the liberty to be able to say what's on my mind. I want to sound informed and educated, but I don't want to come across as a know-it-all. To constant tension. I don't want to say anything unpopular or controversial, but I want to have the courage to go against the crowd if the crowd and I disagree. Like, there's this thing growing in our society, and I'm not going to stay on this long, but I just want to say it just for a minute because it's really bothering me. Like, this whole idea that if we disagree with one another and I disagree with your position, that I'm a bigot or a racist or full of hate. That bothers me, y'all. I can disagree with your position on something and not be a person that's full of hate. We just disagree. And as soon as you say you're full of hate or you're this or you're that and you name call, you cut yourself off from any kind of meaningful dialogue. You end the conversation because who wants to go up against the idea that you're a bigot or a racist? Listen, just because we disagree, that doesn't mean one of us is full of hate. You don't know my heart just because you know my position on an issue. You don't know that, and I don't know yours. That's where we have to talk and discuss. And I want to say this. I want to say this because you need to hear it, and I need to say it. I'm fine with this tension that exists. And I'm going to tell you right now, it doesn't matter to me which political system you adhere to. You can be a Republican, a Democrat, a Green Party, a Tea Party, a Chippehoy Party. I don't care how many. I don't know how many they are, but there's a bunch. It does not make any difference to me because God is bigger than a political ideology, and you can stand in one place politically and still love God. You can. Like, let's make it about, like, while you're fussing and fighting over a political idea, someone in your neighborhood slipped off into eternity without Jesus because you were concerned about getting your agenda across rather than preaching the cross of Christ. That's what I have a problem with. When politics becomes bigger than the God of our hearts, that bothers me. Like, I don't care about some of that stuff as much as this. I want every person to have the opportunity to know that Jesus was real. He was perfect. He lived a life that was sinless. He took my sin and my shame on the cross. His death, burial, and resurrection was a sign that God justified his actions. And when Jesus was raised up from the dead, he gave me the power to be raised up into new life with him and spend all eternity with him. That's what he did. Oh, come on, you can praise him better than that. Like, let's make it. Let's make it about what it's supposed to be about. Okay, let me go. Whew. I need a hanky. Whoever, he says, wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily. And the third one and the last one is follow me. And I'm going to give us a chance to respond back to God. And let me give you the third one, and then I'll talk about it. We've got to live wholeheartedly. Let that idea sink in for a minute. To live with your whole heart. What's that mean? It means you show your Spanx and you don't care. It means you just live out loud. You live in 3D. You live a life that's full on, full of joy. So let me tell you this. As a church, becoming more authentic, becoming more wholehearted. And the team's going to help us here in just a second. I didn't say it this way in the first service, so I'm just trying to make sure, like, I process it right. I want to say, if you're watching online, make sure you share this because it's going to help someone. And when you go home, get on our Facebook page and share this because it will help someone. You can spread your influence to others. So as a church, over the last several years, this October, we will be 15 years old as a church. It's pretty awesome. We have some really exciting things that we're planning. And I would say over the last 15 years, we've been really good as a church at many things. One of them has been to be a receiver of what God's doing. Like, we're humbly and reverently receptive to the word that comes to us and to God moving in our life. One of the places where I believe we can do better at living wholeheartedly is not in our receptivity to God, but in our response to God. I'm going to say it again. It's a little bit distracting. To get better, not in our receptivity to God, but in our response to God. That's wholehearted living. It's responding back to God with joy. Because it's the joy of the Lord that gives us strength. So I've just unlocked the key for you. If you felt weak, get tapped into the joy that God has, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. In this last week, I had such a big time, just so full of joy. And I realized that I was just letting God do some stuff in my life, and I was making a decision that I was going to live wholeheartedly. Like, my wife and I, we had so much fun together. And I'm going to make a point, okay? Like, I was doing these video story things and just being silly and goofy and not caring what anyone thought. And so on one of them, my wife was in the hot tub, and I wasn't. I was in the room, and I knew, because of the way the yard where we were was situated, that I could sneak up on her and scare her. So I wanted to video this, and so I kind of was real creepy and went around, and I got like right up in her face, like she was reading her book, like very, very intent. I mean, she was really into it. And I was literally right here with the phone videoing it. And I touched her and I said, "How's the book?" And she jumped. I was hoping she dropped the book in the hot tub, but she didn't. That's what I was really going for, because I thought that would have been awesome. and she flipped out, "Josh, no!" And I just laughed. And I laughed, and I laughed, and I laughed. I just laughed. Why did you laugh? Well, because it was funny to me. And she laughed too. She was cool with it, right? It wasn't like she was angry and had a bad... Some of y'all, if you got scared like that or somebody did something, you'd hold a grudge until like 2050. You know, you'd just be upset about it. Like, I can't believe I did that. Dude, it was 30 years ago. Relax, right? What's the point? Like, when's the last time you just messed around and didn't care? Like, you just lived wholeheartedly. And I'm emphasizing this, watch. Because in the journey of freedom, there's going to be some times where you have to live wholeheartedly and make some decisions. I'm telling you from experience. It's not a theory. It's experience. I've done it. I've watched God do this. We have to do some things and make some choices that the people around you in the moment won't appreciate, won't support, and won't like. But later, they'll come back and they'll say, "That was awesome." Or they may not. Either way, you with your whole heart can passionately pursue God, knowing you did exactly what your whole heart said was your step in that moment. And that, guys, will start you on a path to authenticity and cause you to let go of what other people think, and you'll start on this journey of freedom like you've never known life to be like. It can change. Like, I'm so passionate for you for this series to live this wholehearted life. And we're going to receive in just a second, but I want to finish with this verse. And then we're just going to pause, and Daniel's going to sing, and we're just going to respond back to God. Because this is where we need to, we've received, and now we need to respond. And this is what Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says in the New King James. "Being confident of this very thing, that he, God, who has begun a good work in you, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." What that means in part is this: that what God starts, he finishes. And even though you aren't where you want to be, thank God you're not where you used to be, and he's still working on your behalf to cause you to be where he's designed you to be in the future. Like, God is still working. He hasn't quit. He hasn't left you. He hasn't reneged on his promise. He says, "I've begun something in you, and I'm a God who finishes what I start. I started something in you, and I'm going to finish it. I started this path of freedom in you, and I'm going to finish it." Maybe you're in a dark season. Maybe you're in a patch where you don't feel like it's all that great. Don't worry. God's not done. He's going to finish it. You can say it this way. Give him some praise. Let me say it to you this way, and then we're going to worship. Come on, Daniel. If it's not good, God's not done. Because he's a good God. He's good, and his mercy endures forever. So here's what I'm going to ask us to do with this verse in mind. I'm just going to have Daniel sing over us. You may not know the song. You may be able to pick it up. You may not be able to. But I'm just going to ask you, because I'm going to do this. I'm going to get out of the way, and he's going to lead us through this. And I'm just going to ask you to lean in with your whole heart. Whether this is your first time in church or you've been in church your whole life, I'm just going to ask you to lean in and let God do something in you. And from your heart, respond back to him, letting him know, I'm going to take a step. I'm going to take a step. So that's what I'm going to do. And I'm just going to invite you into that along with me. And let's just respond to him in a way that's wholehearted.
See, your heart is all that I desire.
up to real, genuine, authentic life and freedom is by making Him first. Maybe you've never made that decision to make Him first. Today's your day. You can make that. I invite you into that decision. You maybe know what it means to have Him first. Maybe mama or grandmama brought you up in church, and for whatever set of reasons, He stopped being the center of your life. I'm inviting you to get Him back at the center of your life. Real simple. If Jesus isn't at the center of your life and you're ready to make that decision to give Him your life, let Him have His way. I'm not going to ask you down front. I'm not going to ask you to stand up to your feet. I'm simply going to ask you right now, if that's you, to make that choice with an uplifted hand and say, Josh, that's me. I want to, I need to make Jesus the center of my life right now. If that's you right in this place, just throw a hand up right where you are. Yes, sir, I see you in the back. Yep, I see you back there. Good for you. Yes, ma'am, I see it. Anybody else join these three? Yep, I see it. Yes, sir, I see it. Anybody else? Yep, I see it. Yes, sir. Good for you, buddy. That's awesome. Good for you, young man. Anybody else join these? Good for you, guy. Good for you. Anybody else? Yes, I see you, ma'am. Thank you. Anybody else? If you're watching online, say yes, and we'll help you online. Some our campus pastor will help you. Our online pastor will help you take next steps. Anybody else? Real quick. Come on, come on. If God's moving on you right now, is the time. Move now. Say yes to Him. It'll be the best decision you make. I'm going to give you one more chance on the count of three. If that's you, you haven't said yes yet, I want you to throw up that hand and leave it there. You ready? One, two, three. Right now, throw it up and say, that's me. Good for you. Good for you. That's awesome. I want us to do this together. With those who have maybe prayed it dozens of times, with those online praying it, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer, repeat this prayer after me, and say this. Everybody say this out loud, strong and from your heart. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Son. Thank you that He died for me. Thank you that He was raised from the dead. I believe in my heart and I say with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I turn from my sin and I turn to your Son and I'll follow Him all the days of my life. It's in His name I pray. Amen. Would you all make a whole bunch of noise for those who made a decision today?
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that you have been blessed through the teaching of God's Word. This resource is generously supported by More Life Church and listeners like you. We would like to give you the opportunity to partner with us to impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To give or to learn more about More Life Church, visit our website at morelifechurch.com.